I'll try that again. Good morning, everyone. Great. It's a bit drier in here than out there. Who got soaked on their way this morning? Anyone? Drenched? Yeah, great. We've got to love this weather at the minute, but really good to see you. I'm going to invite Katie to come and bring us a reading. I know, that's like, we don't often do that at this church, do we? But let's listen to this wonderful reading at the start of this most precious Advent season. So thank you, Katie.
Okay, this is from Luke 1, verse 5. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterwards, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah. Thanks be to God. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, Katie, for reading that so well. I must admit, the idea of 5 months seclusion. Who likes the idea of that? That could actually, yeah. Let's just ponder that for a moment. Anyway, that's not my message. I just want to give a shout out to Sean and Rachel if you're watching from home. I don't know if you can see me on the camera. I feel like I'm standing in the wrong place. Thank you, Alex. Just want to let you know that we're thinking of you. I said to Sean that we would do this. So Sean, Rachel, Larissa, we're praying for you and we're thinking of you. But there is a slight reason I'm mentioning it as well. And Sean, you'll know this. It's because you're my biggest cheerleader. And so I'm now expecting others to rise up and take your place. Thank you. Thank you. I knew some of you would get that. I was deeply concerned. I said, "Sean, what will I do when you're not here?" And he went, "Don't worry, others will step in." So no pressure, everyone, but there's pressure. Isn't that right, Sean? Yeah, so Sean, feel free to text any people you know and tell them to get loud. Get loud with their amens and hallelujahs and speak it, Sarah. I'm the kind of preacher that likes a response. That's basically all I'm saying. So if you're able to do that this morning. Hey, Advent, it has begun. Wow. For some of you, there's actually a oh feeling. I want to pray that oh feeling will turn into a yeah feeling. Because we understand, and my prayer is that this morning, God, by his Spirit, would help each one of us to understand what Advent is all about. I confess to being one that when I hear that word, I go, ugh, because, you know, just the pressure that it can feel. But, oh, God, may he turn that feeling of pressure into feeling of elation and joy and wonder as we have worshipped this morning. I'm curious to know, does anyone, who's brought their Advent calendar? Was that all? Only one? Two? Okay, look at that, yeah. All right, I have got one here this morning. I want you to know I've actually been organised this year. I am known for being one, I know that actually does deserve a round of applause, because I have frequently, thank you. It's called cost of living crisis, and I have been caught out too many times the night before the 1st of December. What day is that? I can't even think. What month would that even be? November. I have been caught out so many times. Tim will bear witness to this, haven't I, Tim? Where I'm like, oh, my days, I haven't got any Advent calendars for my children. Or me. Come on, or me. And I have spent a fortune, because it's always the most expensive ones that are left, right? So the amount of times I have spent like £7 or something on an Advent calendar, I mean, that's outrageous, isn't it? Although maybe you are a £7. Anyone a seven? No, don't confess to that. Anyway, I've been organised, but I have a spare one. So I'd like to give this to somebody. No, you'll get one. I want to give this to someone that that actually you just think, do you know what? I'm not sure I'm going to get an Advent calendar this year, and I'd really like that Advent calendar. Come on, who wants this Advent calendar? Annie, it's yours. It's yours. There you go. Enjoy the Advent calendar. And so it begins, my friends, the Advent calendars, the list for Santa. Oh, what a mere glimpse they are of the deepest longings in our hearts. Can I use the word trite? Is that a kind of a word? They're just such a mere representation. They do their best, but what they speak into is something so much deeper. The Advent calendar, opening every day with the anticipation, the list, the preparations, the present buying. Oh, it's all wonderful. I'm not being a bar humbug this morning. Please don't hear me wrong as I speak this message. But I want to suggest to you that what they represent is something so much deeper. They are mere symbols as you open that Advent calendar every day. It is simply symbolic of something that is going on in the depths of your being, and maybe you're not even aware of it, but something within the depths of humanity. Do you know, Paul says these words in the book of Romans, all creation is groaning and is longing for Jesus. And so the Advent calendar is just simply a mere symbol of something that is way deeper in the heart of humanity, a longing, a deep longing in the hearts of each one of us. A longing for rescue, a longing for hope, a longing for life, for everything we've been talking about this morning. Advent, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, you'd find words like arrival, the arrival of a notable person. That's what it literally says. What a notable person. But actually, this season of Advent that we are literally today, this first Sunday in Advent, stepping into is all around this longing, this expectancy in our hearts for something greater than ourselves. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I know a lot of you, but I don't know all of you. Maybe you've just landed here in church for the first time. Whether you would confess to being a follower of Jesus or not, you can't deny there is a longing within you for something greater than what you can see yourself. Isn't that the truth? It's within all of us. It's within creation. Creation knows that it is dislocated. Creation knows it's not functioning according to how it should be functioning. Creation knows that. And at its very core and at the core of humanity is a longing. And so we come to today's reading. Because Luke begins his wonderful book. And I want to tell you, it is a wonderful book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Our gospel writers, and here's a little challenge for you. As well as opening an Advent door, whatever you may have. Here's a challenge that maybe we could do as a church, and many of you will have done this, and if you're on social media, it's often on social media as a suggestion. You could read through the book of Luke during the month of December, because Luke has 24 chapters. And so what a wonderful thing if you were to take a chapter a day, and you've already had a head start, read by Katie. If you were to read a chapter a day, the wonderful thing is that then on Christmas Eve, you'd be reading about the resurrection. And it would remind you that we still have a hope. And the hope is that one day Jesus is coming back. And so this season of Advent isn't just about the arrival of the incarnation God on earth, but it reminds us again, and oh church, I want to tell us, I want to remind us, I want to encourage us, can we become a community here in Folkestone, here in Harbour, where we remind ourselves often, he's coming back. Maranatha, he is coming, he is returning. This isn't it. Canberra, this isn't it. The best is, oh, like three of you believe that. The best is, it so is. Advent, the arrival of Jesus. I love that the book, Revelation, the final words. Does somebody want to tell me what it says? Come on, Norman. So come, Lord Jesus. Isn't that the cry of our hearts? God, the deepest longings of my heart, so come, Lord Jesus. And so this passage in Luke that Katie has read to us, and you may want to read through the book of Luke and do that as your Advent challenge. It begins, Luke starts. He wants to invite us into this place of longing. Luke doesn't begin straight away with the answer. He begins with the longing. He paints a picture of Zechariah and Elizabeth who are longing for a child. Unfulfilled longing in the depths of their hearts. I don't know what you are longing for, but I know that like me, you have unfulfilled longings. I know you do because you're alive and breathing. And this side of eternity, we have unfulfilled longings, yes? And so for Zechariah and Elizabeth, there's unfulfilled longings. There's this longing for a child and all that that encompasses for them. But there's also this deep longing. You see, Luke describes for us the spiritual drought that Zechariah and Elizabeth find themselves in, along with the whole nation of Israel. And into this spiritual drought, God speaks. Into this spiritual drought of unfulfilled longings. Is that where you are today? Do you feel like you're in a spiritual drought? Sarah, I've been here for so long. Into that spiritual drought, hope speaks. Hope speaks. Oh, I want to pray for us as Harbour. I want to pray for you. Maybe even right now, you might just really want to put up your hand and say, Sarah, pray for me. I want hope to speak into the depths of the longings of my heart. And that's what's going on in this account that Luke so beautifully describes. I wonder how many of you have heard of a man called Bonhoeffer. He was a German priest, pastor, as well as a theologian. I don't have time to tell you his story. Died at the age of 39 for standing up against the Nazis. Powerful man, and he's written some amazing books. I'd like to read you one of his quotes. It'll be on the screen, because this is how he describes the longings of our heart and Advent. He says these words, "The celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come." Isn't that a beautiful quote? The celebration of Advent, come on, just take these words on board, is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect and who look forward to something greater to come. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you, but it sounds very familiar to me of the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew when he's standing on a mountain preaching the greatest sermon ever taught. And he says these words, "Blessed are you who mourn, who lament, who have longing in the depths of your heart, for you will be comforted." In other words, God enters the spiritual drought of our lives. He comes into the deepest longings of our heart that we don't deny, we don't ignore, we face the reality of, but we don't just sit there in the pain of it. We welcome Emmanuel, come, abide, dwell within the very depths of my heart. Are you hearing me this morning? This morning, my message is a simple one. Can we invite Emmanuel in? Can this season of Advent be about welcoming him into the depths of our beings? Over the coming weeks, as a church, Harbour Church, hope that you're going to be here every Sunday, we are going to, between us, take a look at the angelic visitations that we see within the Christmas story. To my knowledge, we've never really done a theme like this before, and so I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to just looking a little bit deeper at Gabriel's conversation with Mary. That'll be next week. Looking forward to understanding what the angel said to Joseph. That'll be the following week. You get the drift of what I'm saying. On the 18th of December, we'll look at the shepherds. That wasn't just one angel, right? That was a host of angels. How wonderful. So during this Advent season, we're going to be looking at these angelic visitations. Did you know that angels are all over the story? If you've been to a nativity, put your hand up. You'll know that angels are all over the story. If you've watched the nativity, you'll know that angels are all over the story. I paused this week as I thought about that, and I had a little smile. I just thought, how cool, God. Of course they're all over the story. Like, you know, in the Old Testament, we read about an angel popping up here, there, and everywhere. But literally, in the space of two chapters, they're everywhere. They're all over it. How amazing is that? And I want to, just this morning, just briefly help us understand who these angels are, to my limited knowledge. I mean, to my limited knowledge. Because I think it's so cool that they're everywhere. And you know why they're everywhere? Because this is the moment that heaven invades earth. No wonder they're all over it. Literally, God has just commanded his angels, get all over this. Don't miss a beat. Be there at every turn. Be there everywhere. The angels are there bearing witness. It's just incredible. Here's the thing. Many of us, as soon as I say the word angels, we picture a chubby little thing that we stick on top of our tree. Yeah, anyone got one of those? A little angel that we put on top? Or we picture all the outfits that we've spent years making or not making or buying off Amazon or doing whatever. And even this week, I don't know who put it on. Somebody put it on a Facebook. Has anyone got any angel costumes? Panic, panic. Who was that? Somebody, wasn't it? Anyway, somebody in the church. Nikki, I think. So our image often is of just that, of just what we've understood angels to be. I have four M's for you this morning. That deserves a... Come on, if Sean was here, he'd be, come on. Thank you. I want you to be impressed. I don't often have four letters, but I have four letters this morning. Don't panic, they're not all long. But here we go. I want to tell you a little bit about angels. Do you want to know about angels? Because they're not just chubby little things that sit on your tree, okay? Here we go. This is what angels are. They're messengers. The Bible says that they speak on behalf of God. I'm going to tell you this, they're not divine. They're not God, and sometimes we almost treat them as if they are. I mean, why is it that people seem to cope with guardian angels more than Jesus? Get your head around that one. We feel more comfortable with that. It's interesting that Jesus is such an offense to people. Just let that land. Oh, I've got a guardian angel. Yeah, have you got Jesus? You know, at one point in Revelation, you read that John is saying to this angel that's just given him this revelation, he starts to worship, and the angel goes, whoa, don't worship me. Worship God. So we don't worship angels, okay? Angels literally are, so Billy Graham used to say this, they are God's special agents. Isn't that cool? That's what an angel is, God's special agent. They do his bidding. They're God's army, they're his warriors. They live in heaven, they are in heavenly places. That's where they dwell. The book of Revelation is full of descriptions about how they worship. But they're there to literally do God's bidding. So they're not divine, but they're not human either. That's what they are. They're messengers. They stand right now in the presence of God. Did you note that when Katie was reading? Gabriel says to Zechariah, I stand in the very presence of God. Wow. Wow. No wonder Zechariah had a moment. Wow. This is what angels do right now. They're standing in the presence of God, and if God wants to, he'll say to one of them, get right down there now to Folkestone. Wow. Come on, I don't know about you, I believe in them. I believe in angels. Because the Bible tells me, so the first thing is they're messengers. The second thing the Bible tells us about angels is that they are sent to minister. They're ministers. Well, there's so many beautiful stories I could tell you here. The Bible describes them as being angels who serve and strengthen believers. In Matthew 4, we read about Jesus in the desert, 40 days of not eating, and he's been in this intense battle with Satan. And at the end of it, he's hungry, he's tired, because Jesus, fully God but fully man. And they're right at the end of Matthew. You could almost miss it. There's this beautiful line that says, "And so an angel came to wait on him." Isn't that beautiful? Is anyone grabbing that this morning? I have faith to believe that in my most intense battles and my struggles and my weariness, God at his word could send a ministering angel to come and to wait on me. Am I that important? Yes. To God, I'm everything. So at his command, he could say, "Sarah needs some help. Go and minister to her, Gabriel." I don't know about you, but that just tells me I'm not alone. Huh. Oh, God. I'm pausing because it's actually impacting me, maybe more than it's impacting you. He loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Just like Nikki said this morning, some of us are oblivious to it. Where are you, Nikki? Yeah. Do you know what the roar of heaven is? I love you. This much, that into the spiritual drought and the longings of your heart, I will come and breathe. Don't live with your bad breath. God, this Advent, come and transform and change us, I pray. Not only was it at the beginning of Jesus' life, but we read in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus again is in this intense spiritual battle, angels come and minister to him. We read in the book of Hebrews, it's described that angels are ministering spirits sent to us. That's what they are. In Acts 12, Peter's in prison. Mary Jane referenced it this morning. And what happens? An angel comes and ministers and brings freedom. This is what angels do. Elisha, you read about it in the book of Kings. It says there was an army of angels to protect him. His servant didn't see it, but he saw it. An army of angels. Last week, Gareth preached on Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, I wonder if you noticed it as you heard Gareth preach and as he told the story, it says this: it was an angel who shut the mouths of the lions. These angels, they're messengers and they're ministers. The third M is this: there's multitudes of them. Multitudes of them. Only two are named in the Bible, Gabriel and Michael. But we know that there are multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of them. In Luke 2, when they visit the shepherds, it says there's a multitude, a vast host. In Hebrews 12, we read this, that there are thousands of angels right now joyfully gathering around the throne. Yeah. Anyone hearing me this morning? We join with the angels when we worship the King. And my final M is this. And actually, this could be my first M, my second M, my third M, and my fourth M. It's actually quite a mystery. Because the things I've just told you about angels, that's it. There's actually not more I could say, and you could sit under theological lectures and you wouldn't get much more. That's the truth. Oh, they might say it with a few more fancy words than I have. But the truth is, there isn't anything more to say about angels. They're a mystery. But can I suggest that this Advent, we have the courage Oh, somebody needs to get this morning. I want to pray that this Advent, we have the courage to literally step into the mystery. If you're here this morning longing for every answer, I hate to disappoint you. You won't find it. There is only one answer, and his name is Jesus. And he invites us into the mystery of a beautiful relationship with him that's so real. It's not religious. You're looking at someone this morning that can't breathe without Jesus. Just at the end of the worship, I'm always thinking of old songs. I can't help it. It's getting worse as I'm getting older. I say to my kids regularly, anyway, I won't tell you what I say to them. It doesn't matter. Do you remember that old song? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. If I had a good voice, I'd sing it, but my voice is ropey. Oh, how I love Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Do you remember it? At the end of the worship, thank you, Ian, as you were just leading us, that's what popped into my head. I just love him. I really do love him. Do you?
Yeah.
I can't do a second without him. He fills my life with not just meaning, but breath. I live under the roar of heaven. Do you know how safe that is? Psalmist said this, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, I cling to you, Jesus. If I could do it in my own strength, how foolish and vain that would be. But I can't. Do you know what my prayer is for these young people? That they get a revelation of that much quicker than I did. Anyone else say amen to that? Took me years. Sharing about this at our Connect group, wasn't I, on Friday? It took me years. Years. I want to pray over you guys that you just get a revelation from heaven that you're loved. Just that you're loved. That he is your daily breath. He is your everything. Would you this Christmas step into the mystery? Because I think that's the invitation of Advent, that we step into the mystery, this invitation to trust, this invitation to hope, to faith, to love, to joy. It was the same invitation that was made available to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds, and it's the same invitation that was made available to Zachariah and Elizabeth that we read about at the start of this message in Luke chapter 1, and I want to draw us right back there as I begin to conclude. I want to draw us right back to the passage that Katie read. Are you still awake? Are you still with me?
Yes.
Give me a yes. Turn to the person next to you and say, stay awake, she's nearly finished. Give them a sweet if you've got them. They might need a sugar rush or something. Just give them something. There's chocolate coins up here if you need a chocolate coin. I really want us to stay awake. I know we get tired and we fall asleep in church too often. Let's just stay awake. I want to conclude this message by going back to Zachariah and Elizabeth and just very, very quickly just pointing out some things in this beautiful passage in Luke chapter 1. Some things that just jumped out to me. It says this about them. They were righteous in God's eyes and careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Daniel that we heard about last week? I think there's a running theme here. I want to just say, because I paused in my notes as I read this, and I just said, Lord, is that really necessary for me to comment on? And I just felt him say, yes, it is, because actually how we live does matter. And I just want to say that, not because how I live will get me to heaven, not because how I live, I'm saved by grace, how I live does not affect my salvation, but it's no accident that the Bible takes time to carefully record the way these people lived their lives. But they lived it because of the encounter they'd had with Jesus. It was that way round. And I just want to throw out that the way Zachariah and Elizabeth lived is worthy of note. They lived righteous in God's eyes and careful to obey all of the Lord's commands, even in their spiritual drought. How are you living in your spiritual drought? What's going on for you in the depths and the longings of your heart? The second thing that I notice in this passage is that when it says An angel appeared to him. This actually, Sam, if you could do me a drum roll here. I don't think we can fully grasp the impact of this moment. The time has gone. If I'd had time, I would love to describe to you how Zechariah was in this moment in the temple. It says that he was part of the order that day. There was 24 different orders. He was part of this tribe of the Levites, and his order got picked, and then his name got picked out by literally a voting thing. And then he finds himself in this. Yeah, you could do it. Here's the drum roll. This is the first time in 400 years that heaven speaks. Thanks, Sam. 400 years of silence. That's why it was a spiritual drought. And then Luke records, into the spiritual longings of Israel's heart, the angel appears. Ian, you can come up, because Sam's already there. Just come up. Just come up. That'll help me. Oh, I want to tell you this. You might be feeling the silence of heaven right now, but I honestly believe this Advent season, my prayer is, oh God, may we hear your voice like we've never heard it before. Yeah. May we know the voice of heaven into the longings of our heart. May our community, may Folkestone know the voice of heaven. Don't we need to hear God now more than ever? More than ever. It's desperate out there and it's desperate in here. But Jesus. And so Luke describes, the story begins and everything changes. It's why it's a drum roll moment. Gabriel appears. He says, I've stood in the very presence of God. No wonder the angels are all over it. They're so excited. They can't contain it. This is the moment. And so the story begins. And I want to tell you, the story has not ended yet. He is coming, and he will come with the blast of a trumpet from the angels. Oh, they're all over it, my friends. I'm just starting preaching. Can you hear? I'm just getting revved up, and it's 12 o'clock. I'm just getting revved up. Can I tell you, this isn't a fairy tale. It's real. All of this is real. Or if it was made up, do you think I'd be bothered? No, I'd be in bed right now. This is not made up. This is real. This is real. Don't listen to what Nikki said this morning. Don't be oblivious to it. This is real. God, wake us up to the message of the angels. And what was the message? Oh, come on, let's just be, if you want, just get a bit excited now. This was the message from heaven. Elizabeth, Zechariah, Elizabeth will have a son. The longing of your heart will be fulfilled. This son will bring joy and gladness and rejoicing. This is good news. Oh, can I just challenge us, church? Can we look like it's good news? Because a lot of the time we don't. A lot of the time we look as if we're walking around and it's bad news. And I just want to suggest that maybe God might want to get us out of the way and bring in some others that are a bit happier. Just be careful. Just be careful, friends. This is good news. This is Advent. Oh. The message, you can play, you can do what you like. Do what you like, do something, help me. Help me, Ian, please, help me. Oh, then the angel says this, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on. Yeah, you know about that, Kieran. If you witnessed Kieran's baptism, if I've ever seen anyone filled with the Spirit of God, it was this young lad here. As he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God came upon him. Come on, who witnessed that? Will you grant me 5 more minutes? I feel like I'm just getting going. Huh? If you've got to leave, you can leave. If your roast is roasting, then roast it. Listen to me. Do you know what it says? That while John is in Elizabeth's womb, Mary comes along. I'm stealing Mary Jane's message now for next week, probably. Mary comes along. She's just had a meeting with Gabriel as well. Gabriel's brilliant, isn't he? Just got to love Gabriel. But it says this. As soon as Elizabeth and Mary meet, oh, I love their relationship. What happens to this baby? Come on, come on, come on. He's doing somersaults because the Spirit of God is so alive in John, who Elizabeth is carrying. What are you carrying right now, my friend? Some of you, oh God, I'm prophesying now. Some of you are carrying dreams and visions, and I'm going to tell you, it's a baby within you. Oh God, I want to pray right now. Bring it to birth. Bring it to birth. Bring it to birth. Whatever is stopping and hindering, God, I pray right now that by your Spirit, some of the things within inside of us will start leaping for joy. Leaping for joy. Oh, I breathe life on them. Let them come alive again. Those things that were prophesied over you years ago, let them come alive again. Let them come alive again. Let them spring into being. Oh God, come on, begin to prophesy over yourself. Child within me, leap for joy, leap for joy, leap for joy. The angel said this baby that you're going to carry will turn people back to God. He will prepare the people for the coming Lord. He will clear the way. He will reignite remembrance back to God. Oh, I've still got so many notes. Oh. Lots of people say that, you know, you could read about, you know, when the angel says, now you're not going to be able to speak for a few months. How many of you read that and just seen it as judgment from God? Like I have sometimes. Yeah, thanks, Marcus, you're honest, right? Sometimes it sounds like he's being told off. You naughty boy, you didn't believe me. Well, now you're not going to be able to speak. I read this yesterday and I just thought, God, I had a moment of just God speaking to me. I felt him say, it wasn't my judgment, Sarah, it was a sign. Zacharias, he needed a sign. Imagine if that hadn't happened. He's got this moment in the altar and then he comes out and he tells everyone, I've just seen an angel. What are they all going to go? Yeah, right. Like, do you think they're going to believe him? 400 years of silence? No, I've just seen an angel. He's spoken. Oh, lock him up. He's not thinking straight. Do you know what I'm saying? So the angel goes, I know you don't believe. I wish you would. I've stood in the very presence of God, but you don't believe. So now I'm going to really show you. You're not going to be able to speak. So then he walks out, and then not only does he believe, but everybody else believes. And then the minute that John's born and they have to call him, he can speak again. If that's not a sign from heaven. Anyone long for some signs from heaven? Come on. Come on. I want to tell you that you might think at the minute you're going through something and you say, God's judging me. No, he's not. He's giving you a sign. Yeah. It's a sign. And do you know what his signs are always for? Because he loves us. He is so for you. And you're saying to God, you're judging me. And he says, I'm not judging you. I'm giving you a sign. Well, it doesn't feel like a sign. I know it doesn't feel like a sign, but it's a sign. Oh God. Oh God. Well, I'm going to finish. This is what I'm going to finish with. And then we're going to break bread together. And do you know what Zechariah means? It means God remembers. Do you know what Elizabeth means? It means the oath of God. So put that together and it means this, God remembers his oath. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know what John means? Grace. That's Advent. This is part one of the angelic visitations. I'd like us to finish by reading a prayer together. Ethan, if you could put it on the screen, I'd be really grateful. I'd just like us to read this together. In fact, I'm going to sit down here. Let's just read this together, shall we? You can keep playing, Ian. That's fine. This Advent, Lord, come to the manger of my heart. Surround me with your presence. Lord, I long to hear your voice. Clear my mind of countless concerns and all the holiday noise. Slow me down this Christmas. Let me not be in a rush. This Christmas, Jesus, come to the manger of my heart. Invade my soul like Bethlehem, bringing peace to every part. Dwell within and around me. As I unwrap your presence each day, keep me close to you, Lord. It's in your wonderful name, I pray. Come on, let's just worship together. Thanks, Ian.